Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
When a business is stuck in your head as the business owner, it's a pretty painful business to own.
You get more mistakes, quality issues, rework, wrong invoicing, wrong pricing, stuff starts to go wrong. And so the answer is to build those systems and processes.
Saving you stress, time, effort and money.
In a sense, you become a bottleneck through which everything must pass. You're limited by your capacity to do stuff. The sad reality for most tradie and contracting business owners is that when they grow their business, they scale up chaos instead of profit and freedom. Now, life gets harder when it should be getting easier. This is massively important, isn't it? You know, without systems, you can't grow.
So how do we know where to start? Like, if we're going out to set up our first system, you know, I've got no systems in my business, I want to get this started, so where do I start?
Yeah, don't be stupid like me and try and make everything perfect at the start. Major fail. But there are really four steps to how you do this, and it's pretty simple. The first step. Tune into today's podcast where we talk through how you can build the right systems and processes into your business so it can run smoothly without you having to do everything. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast. Alrighty, welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, your host, with my good mate Phil Smith. My man, what's happening?
Yeah, good, man. Always good. Ready to roll.
It's good. You're behaving now. You weren't before.
No, anyway, we never behaved before the episode, mate.
That's right. Yeah, you a few issues there. Yeah. What are we talking about today, mate? This is important stuff today. Well, very important.
We're talking about how, when a business is stuck in your head, as the business owner, you know, it's a pretty painful business to own. So, you know, you're responsible for everything and everything has to go through you. So the way to grow and take pressure off you is to grow your team, but then you start having the team hassles too. So what you need is the right systems and processes so then your team knows what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So system stands for saving you stress, time, effort, and money. So pretty important stuff.
I think. Yeah, well, I like that little...
Yeah, you like that, did he?
What is that, an acronym?
Acronym, yeah. Acronym's always fun.
Saving you stress, time, effort, and money. You've obviously put a lot of thought into that. Well done.
Yeah, I actually made that up.
No,
I didn't.
No. Anyway, this is important, though, because lots of people have seen, you know, other people grow their business and seen that business blow up. And so they often assume that a bigger business is a more stressful business and it's harder to own. And they, you know, we hear lots of people say, hey, I just want to fix my business. I want to get too big. I don't want to grow bigger. I just want it to be kind of comfortable. And the thing is that most often what's not understood is that stress and the problem with the bigger business comes from a lack of systems and processes. It's not about being a bigger business. It's just a bigger business with no systems and processes, which causes chaos. And so the answer is to build those systems and processes so it's not difficult to run.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's what we'll dig into is, you know, how important systems are and how they can actually improve your business, and also a pretty simple, I guess, four-step process to actually build some systems.
Sounds good, man. Well, I'm sure you got a story to kick us off.
We'll gather around the fireside. So back in the 50s, back in the dark ages, mate. That's not fair, is it?
How old were you, like 20? Or?
That's right, yeah. Anyway, there was this guy named Ray Kroc. We may have heard of him. He was selling milkshake machines, in fact.
Delicious.
Yeah, good old milkshake. And they were those big clunky things that could pump out five milkshakes at a time, you know, five spindles around the side. So one day he got an unusual order. He had got an order for eight machines from one restaurant, and he was like, flipping heck, that's unheard of. You know, most diners barely need one. You know, how come someone can do 40 at a time? So he jumped in his car, he drove out to San Bernardino in California and just to figure out what sort of operation would need 40 milkshakes at once. And what he found blew his mind. So the place was run by a couple of brothers, Richard and Morris, McDonald, funnily enough, yeah, Dick and Mac, and he figured out this wasn't your average burger joint.
Not at all. Yeah. Sounds like a revelation of a place.
It was a revelation of a place, and they'd built, you know, something totally different. Basically, what they'd done is they'd turned the kitchen into a factory floor, and they developed this thing called the Speedy Service System, which was basically a system for making burgers at scale and consistently. So every station had a job, burgers made the same way, there's no fluff, no wasted time. It was just fast, repeatable, high quality output. Yeah, it's not.
Well, it was back then.
Yeah, not necessarily high nutrition, but high quality. It's the same quality anyway. So,
repeatable quality.
Burgers, fries, and shakes are already, you know, real, real quick. And he was, you know, Kroc was mesmerized, not by the food, but by the systems behind the food. And so he really saw the future there. You know, it wasn't a business that relied on superstar chefs or unicorn staff. It was a business that was built on systems and processes well executed that was repeatable and could be replicated. And so eventually he, a whole nother story, he got involved and he spread this model right across the world. He franchised it. And he didn't invent the burgers. He didn't start McDonald's, but he really ramped up the system and really recognized the, you know, the genius of it. And today I think they serve, you know, tens and tens of millions of people every day.
Yeah.
In pretty much every country everywhere. So system's very powerful. And yeah, we look at it now and we're like, well, it's easy to systemize a burger business, but it's not easy at all. I've actually owned one.
Yeah.
It's not easy to systemize. Not a McDonald's, but a burger business back in the dark ages.
Yep.
And it's actually quite difficult. So if you can do it for burgers, you can do it for pretty much anything.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's obviously the point of the story today. And, you know, I think a few problems will arise if you can't put the right systems and processes into your business. So should we dig into those?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is that if it's stuck in your head, then everything revolves around you. And that's difficult. And in a sense, you become a bottleneck through which everything must pass. So all the questions, all the problems, all the explanation, all the training, all the instruction comes through you. And you're limited by your capacity to do stuff. So that's one thing. And then as you do grow, what happens is you do scale up chaos. So you get more mistakes, quality issues, rework, wrong invoicing, wrong pricing. Stuff starts to go wrong because it's sort of stuck in your head and you tell people about it, but it's not written down and they really don't get it. And so they're always coming back to you and it's not explained well enough, or you just can't keep on top of everything.
Yep.
So I think that's massive. And then also you get a lot of team problems. You know, we're like, oh, tradesperson's not doing a good job, or my estimator's messing up, or my ops person's messing up, or my, you know, my invoicing person or my CSRs are not doing a great job.
Well, not to mention disagreement between them, because, you know, one person likes to do things one way, another person does the same thing a different way, and so they disagree, and then there's, you know, infighting between who's actually doing things right, because there's no actual established way of doing anything.
That's exactly right. And often the problem with your team, and you should always look at this first, is what is the system problem? Is there something falling down in terms of how things are expected to be done, how they're written down? Because if things are just happening the way anyone thinks they should, then you've got multiple things happening, which is often the problem. So a lot of team hassles are caused by poor systems. Mm. And it's easy to blame people, blame the team, but actually often there's something underneath that. And not always. Sometimes a team member needs to move on. But
it's just the first place to look.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, without systems, you can't grow. Honestly, you just can't grow without chaos. And if there's enough chaos, you can't grow anyway because it falls to bits.
Hmm.
And we see this all the time. You have businesses that grow. They start off with reasonable margins and they grow and their margins fall because it's just disorganized and people don't know how things are supposed to work. Eventually, it leads to burnout. You know, no vacations, no holidays, no breaks, because you have to be there. You're kind of the linchpin, the cornerstone of everything, and it's all in your head. And that's just so stressful. And
yep,
so many business owners find themselves in that position. They're completely tapped out because the whole business is literally stuck in their head and there's nothing out on paper for people to follow.
Yeah, 100%. Just gets a bit too much. But on the other hand, if we do get the systems and processes in place, a lot to gain.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is, just like Ray Kroc noticed, you get consistent quality across your operation. So you can get jobs done right. You get the paperwork done right. The pricing's done consistently. So there's quality. And if you're finding there's a lot of rework on jobs or quality issues or mistakes coming out of your office, it's because the process is not clear and it's not consistent. You know, the inputs determine the outputs, and systems and processes are about getting the inputs right.
Well, it feeds into everything. I mean, even systems for, you know, hiring those people. It's like, you know, sometimes you make a good hire, sometimes a bad hire. It's like, well, do you have a system that you're following to actually make sure that you're hiring good people every time? Because if not, well, then yeah, you're rolling the dice. So same thing, it's just inconsistent. Everything in your business can be a system.
Yeah, exactly. Your team are going to perform better if they know what's expected of them and how it's expected to be done. So you have more productive employees, more engaged, happier employees. You'll actually attract better employees as well. People don't think about this. If word gets around and people can see that your business is well-organized and well-systemized, that's very attractive, because most contracting businesses or trading businesses are actually pretty disorganized.
Mm.
And people don't quite know what's expected. It's inconsistent, and people don't really want to work in that sort of environment if they can help it. So that's important. And then overall, it really gives you more time, more headspace, and ability to actually get away from the business, because you've got systems in place that people can follow, and therefore you can, you know, let them do it rather than you having to oversee everything. So that allows you to build a business. You know, you can add people to it because, you know, I guess the operating procedures are written down. And at the end of the day, and this is very important, you can actually build a business with real equity value. You know, a business is, that has good systems that, you know, a potential buyer can come in and see the playbooks on how things are done. Here's all the pricing templates. Here's the scripts for your CSRs to follow. Here's your checklists for, you know, for handover, on-site quality, for everything. Here's your process for collecting debts. If they can see that, they're like, flipping heck, this is actually an operating system that I can buy that's not reliant on the owner having to do everything, and your business is worth a lot more. And that's pretty powerful because for me, you want to make sure at some stage you realize the value or the equity value of your business, and systems are a great way to do that.
Yeah, well, without the systems, you're pretty much just not going to be able to do that.
Tricky.
Yeah, so it's pretty important. So Should we get into, you know, how we actually look at systems and what to do here?
Yeah. Well, I guess the starting point, isn't it, mate, is if it's not written down, it's not a system.
Mm.
So if it's in your head, then it's not a system because, well, it's kind of a system in here, but not really a system because no one can follow it. That's the point.
It's something that you do that is a system, but it's just not a usable system yet because people have to access your brain to do it. So, for the way we would define a system, it's not a system.
Yeah, it's got to be written down so that it's outside of your head or outside of the – it might not be your head as well if you've got a bigger team. It might be key players in your team. You know, it's outside of their head so that if they leave, then it's still there. And other people can use it and follow it. That's really the thing. And I think this is the really important point with systems is systems do the work. Like, they make sure this stuff happens. Your team's job is to run the systems you've put in place, and your job is to lead and hire your team. That's very important. So the systems do the work, the team run the systems, and then your job is to hire and lead the team. And that's how you build a really strong system.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this does take work. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people listening which are going to be thinking, hey, this sounds great, but systemizing everything's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to take a long time. And hey, look, it might take a long time, but it probably won't be as difficult as you think. And I think more importantly is it is hard work, but you work hard once, right? Like, people often say, I'm way too busy to build systems. But you'll just chase your tail forever with that attitude. So you need to actually take the time to build a process flow or a checklist or a script once, and that'll pay you back forever because you work really, really hard on getting this down on paper, you know, getting it all planned out, getting your system in place, training the team, getting them to use it. But once they do, you never, ever, ever have to work on that again because they're able to just continually use that system or that process, which, you know, means that you're not going to take all of those phone calls. You're not going to have to troubleshoot all those issues, and you're not going to have to redesign this. It's in place. They can use it, and they're going to, you know, continue to use it. So it's hard work up front, followed by just massive benefit forever after that. So you really got to work hard once. I think it's really important.
Yeah, this is massively important, isn't it? This applies to lots of stuff in life. You know, it's like it's about discipline. And Jim Rohn said there's, you know, two pains in life. There's the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. So systems are about the pain of discipline. It means you've got to work hard now to set yourself up for the future. But if you don't do it, you feel like, oh, I don't have time and I can't put that effort in now. Well, it's kind of weird because you're going to pay that price anyway from fixing up all the mistakes that happen without the system, from all the extra time and questions you get, from all the stress and heartache of having to deal with stupid questions, from all the stress and heartache of not being able to take a vacation or a break or not spend time with your family, your kids, your wife, husband, whatever, because you don't have the time because you're trying to do everything. So that pain's there already. It's just that one really takes some discipline to sort out. The other one is the pain of regret. It's the pain of the stuff-ups that you have to deal with forever. And so it's really framing that in your mind. And this applies not just to systems. It's probably for, you know, lots of stuff in life, but we're talking about systems here. So really think about that. Work hard once, get it right. And as you said, once you get one system in place, your life gets a little bit easier.
Yeah, you actually get a little bit more time to build that next
system. So it has a compounding effect.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, pain of discipline, pain of regret. I mean, one weighs in pounds, the other weighs in tons.
That's right.
So it's like choose your pain, really. Yeah. And, you know, it really reminds me of that that old saying, you know, if I had 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first two sharpening the axe.
Yep.
It's the same principle, right? It's like you spend that little bit of time up front to really work hard and make it easier, you know, moving forward after that. And good thing is it stays easier. An axe goes blunt again, whereas your system doesn't. So I think it's really, really important. And, you know, with this as well, you just want to automate it wherever it's possible. So today we're super lucky.
So lucky.
I mean, the way that technology goes, we're so much luckier with how you can systemize things. Like in the old days, you had paper job cards, paper invoicing, you know, checks. I mean, some of you out there might still be using checks, but you know, today we can automate most stuff in our business, which saves a lot of time and, you know, makes things virtually paperless. Like, you know, using a great job management software, accounting software, takeoff software when you're pricing, you know, cloud computing, you know, CRMs that you can use to manage customer data and you know where you're at with different conversations and see where people are at in your sales pipeline. Like file sharing, all of this is just absolutely making the game of systemization so much easier. And, you know, these tools are very powerful. It allows you to, you know, condense a lot of data. It allows you to, you know, like put things in places where people can actually find them, because that's another thing. Back in the day, you might have written an ops manual and it was handwritten on paper in a binder in somebody's van. And, you know, needless to say, that binder probably got lost, probably never made it out of the van. Whereas, you know, these days with digitalization, automation, you can get, you know, processes, systems, checklists that are, you know, available right there in somebody's pocket, you know, on their phone. Easy to find, easy to use, all in one place. So adoption of systems is also easier with automation and technology.
Massively. And I know we've talked a lot about ChatGPT on the pod and AI. You know, you can use that to help with a lot of this stuff as well, in terms of helping you build first drafts of systems. So it's very powerful.
Yeah, well, it's incredible. I mean, you can jump on ChatGPT and say, create a step-by-step checklist on how to install a toilet. And it's right. It's like, it's correct.
It's like 80% you know, so, good.
Yeah, I remember when we first started doing this, Tone, we used to write these out by hand, and it took some time. But like nowadays, it, you know, it really doesn't have to. So it's a godsend.
It is. So obviously, the first system you need for systems is how to make a system. So you need a system for building your systems, and that's important. But there are really four steps to how you do this, and it's pretty simple. The first step for systems is just to basically flowchart the process that you're following. So that's basically creating a bunch of boxes across the page of the steps that need to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, that could be you know, for your inquiries. It could be like phone rings, answer the call. There's a script for that. You know, how to schedule the details, book the job, contact the people, and maybe, you know, contact the tradespeople. So there's you just write the steps out.
Yeah.
Across the page. For pricing, you could do the same. For, you know, invoicing, you can do the same. So you've got the steps written out across the page.
Handy tip, if you're trying to do this, rather than writing it down on a page, because you might actually figure out, hey, there's another step in there, and then have to scribble things out and draw lots of lines, get a bunch of post-it notes
perfect.
Out. Just write the step on a post-it note, stick them up on a whiteboard or, you know, any kind of board or on a wall. And then that way, you know, if you figure out there's another step in between some you'd already written down, you can just move them around, and that makes it easy. And if you do find one where there's a decision point, for example, hey, this step could lead to potential others, then that's cool. You can just put the different decisions or different, you know, directions things could go. You can put them either side of that post-it. So essentially, you can draw a whole, you know, flow chart of how a process is done and move it around and edit it and you know, get feedback from other people in the team, because other people might remember something you forgot.
Yeah, and the thing here is you don't need to make it perfect as well. Like, just flowchart what you do right now to start with.
Yeah, that's a good start.
That's a really good start. So don't try and make it perfect. Just flowchart what you're actually doing now. You can tweak it a bit later. So that's the first step. Then the next step is for each one of those post-it notes or steps in the process is like just document what that step is. And so it's only going to be a few things. It might be a process flow. It could be a template. So for instance,
if you're going to send an email, it's like there might be a template for that email.
That's a template for that email that you use every single time, the one you like that everyone can use, and you just change the names.
Yeah.
It might be a script. So that would, you know, your CSRs. This is how you answer the phone for your, you know, when you go out in the field, out to site to do a sales call, here's a script. Or here's a script for when you're following up the quotes or bids you've sent. So this is how it's done.
This is how to introduce yourself to a client when you turn up at their house, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, templates, another example, is like pricing templates. Classic example. This is the spreadsheet, or if you've got your field software, which you probably should have, which is kind of like a bunch of fancy spreadsheets. Anyway, it's all there. All the as-builts, pre-builts, all the items are there that you can just pick from to build your system. It might be an example. It might be a video. That's very powerful.
Videos are awesome. They're my favorite type of favorite type of system, really, because, you know, a lot of the time, like we said back in the day, you had to write something out step by step on a piece of paper. And reality is people just don't like reading it. Like if you see online, a lot of posts these days are, there's a TLDR, too long, didn't read. So, you know, in this case, the thing is people love to consume video. It's what they do. And so if you're able to document something, firstly, it's going to be more widely consumed. Your team will actually watch it if it's a video rather than having to read it in a manual. And secondly, it's way easier to create. Like rather than me sitting there and having to write out a process, or if it's a computer-based process and I'm trying to write down, click this and click that, and this button is found above that button, or I'm trying to insert screenshots. It's like, man, just video yourself doing it. It's so much easier, and you can just do a process, video it, and then, hey, look, there it is. It's completely shown.
Yeah, and there's lots of systems out there. Loom is an example. And you can actually talk when you're doing it as well. So let's say you're, you know, showing someone how to do an invoice. You just record your screen doing it, and you talk as you're doing it as well to explain what's going on. Lock and load, done. You know, your video's done. You put it there and people can watch it.
Yeah, well, super, if you were training easy. Somebody one time on how to do something, just use Loom, record yourself training them, and then now anytime they get stuck, they can basically be retrained forever by you, only you're not there. And hey, look, if this is not a computer-based process, it's like, you're like, oh, I can't use Loom. This is something that's going to happen out in the physical world, not here on the computer. I'm like, sweet, well, do you have a phone? Yeah. I'm pretty sure you do.
iPhone's best for this, by the way.
Of course, and Android uses them. I'm sorry, but iPhone is superior. Anyway, my point is pull out your phone. You will have video capability. Take a video. And if you're training someone on how to do something, let's say you get called to site even. Tradesman, you know, is really stuck. They need help. Like, if you're going to have to go out and help them anyway, you might as well get them to hold the phone and be your cameraman and film you helping them, because now that's captured forever. And anytime this ever comes up again, someone can watch that video rather than you having to go to site. So, yeah, video is
very,
so
very
good,
powerful.
So easy.
So you document the steps. Step three, so step one, flowchart the process. Two, document the steps. Three is measure results. So you need some KPIs, KPAs to actually see that the system is working properly. And so that could be things like, you know, the phone is answered within three rings, that the script's followed. It could be things like we have no more than two callbacks a month. It could be our AR is under 2% overdue. There's a whole bunch of things you can put in there just to measure the system. And then four, you will need to update and improve as you go along. And that you'll see that when you measure the results, there might be some things that pop up that just aren't quite right yet, and you've got to tweak them. And that's fine. So it's a really simple four-step process. Flowchart, document the steps, measure results, and update and improve.
Yeah.
And
so how do we know where to start? Like, if we're going out to set up our first system, you know, I've got no systems in my business. I want to get this started. You know, obviously, if I'm looking at all of them at once, I'm going to be completely overwhelmed.
Well, that's right.
And so where do I start?
Yeah, don't be stupid like me and try and make everything perfect at the start. Major fail. Taking me a few years to figure out that's a dumb idea. You just choose a traffic light process. So you're like, what is red in my business right now? What's the glaring big problems? And you just work on those first. So that might be, I don't know, four or five systems that you, if you get them right at the start, it's going to make a massive difference. In fact, it's probably 80% of the problems in your business are coming from a very small number of the systems. Mm. And typically it's things like job handover process, pricing stuff, quality assurance process, that sort of stuff. Maybe the hiring process as well, because that's so instrumental. That if you fix those things, a lot of your other problems go away. Invoicing, I think I mentioned as well. So your traffic light, the things that are most, you know, seriously stuffed, to use a technical term, and you work on those. Very, very, very simple process. And then that's going to give you a bit more time, and then you can work down the steps. And it may be that you'll never have your business 100% systemized. That's okay. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. There are some things that are not routine. And so that requires a human to look at them, but there's not that many.
Yeah.
So don't think it has to be perfect. Done is better than perfect here.
Well, if we think about, I mean, I suppose the next point of overwhelm would be, jeepers, do I have to create every single one of these systems? Like, this is a lot of work for me, so what do we do there?
Yeah, this is a great one, right? And there's a couple of things to this. And we've seen this with a lot of people coming into the Million Dollar Tradie coaching program is, oh, well, I have to set up all my systems before I can hire anyone to do that job. Like, I have to set up my office systems before I hire an office person. I have to set up the estimating system before I hire an estimator. Yada, 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 right?
Flawed thinking.
If you try and do that, you'll never get it done because you're too busy already and it's just too difficult. So a couple of ways to do this. Number one is you want to edit stuff. You don't want to author it. And that means ideally get other people to have the first crack at this. Get your team involved. So if you've got a new administration person coming on board, office manager, whatever you like to call them, get them to write the systems as they learn the system.
Yeah.
And then you can just tweak them.
Or as you train them.
As you train them.
You're going to have to onboard them anyway and teach them how to do stuff. Record yourself training them and bang, now you have the systems as well.
Yep, 100%. Let's say you want a QA checklist for doing a under four for plumbing. Well, get your most experienced tradie or expert technician to do that, and then just have a look at it and make the tweaks as you go along. Hmm. All you need to do is just give them a template. Here's a kind of example. Here's something to follow.
This is what a flowchart looks like.
Yeah, this is what a flowchart looks like.
This is the topic we're talking about. What would you do first?
Yep.
And then what would you do? And then what would you do?
So let them have a crack at it. You edit it much quicker. Gets their buy-in to the process, which is fantastic because involvement breeds commitment. And, also they can use ChatGPT to help them, like use that as the first crack. Let's build me a quality assurance checklist for a plumbing underfloor.
Yeah.
And it'll spit out 80% good. Your tradesperson has a go at it. Then you just tidy it up. So it's actually can be pretty simple.
Yeah, and so that way as well. I mean, if you have a few people in your team, you could have a few people each working on a different system, and you now have exponential output in terms of your system's creation as well. Whereas if you're trying to do it yourself, it's going to be one at a time. You could have five or six people each building one system.
And that's the principle of leverage, isn't it? You multiply your effort by getting people to help. And I tell you, if you get your team to help, they will love you for this. They'll feel like they're important. They'll feel like they're trusted. That breeds engagement, involvement, commitment. It's a win-win, that is.
Plus, I love using the system I created, and I love getting other people to use the system created. So the thing is that the tradesman that built a quality assurance checklist for one of your jobs, they're going to really be pushing the use of that checklist amongst the other tradesmen, which means not only did you not have to build it, but someone else is actually helping with the accountability and compliance around that system because it's their system. They want it to be a thing. They'll champion it because they built it. So it's very powerful.
It is. So, systems set you free. I mean, like I said, get help to build the systems is a big part of it. Don't try and do it all yourself because that is a real problem we see. Just don't do that because it doesn't work. You need systems because you're completely tapped out already. And so if you add a bunch of jobs of building systems on top of the fact that you're already tapped out, it's not going to happen because it's not urgent work.
Mm.
It's very strategic work, but you've got a bunch of other stuff you need to do and you just probably won't get there.
Yeah, well, it's that important, non-urgent, right?
That's right.
So which is really the quadrant you want to be working in the most to improve your business. So I think we've had some good stuff here, man. Should we land this plane?
Let's do it. Every hour your business puts into building systems and processes pays you back in profit, time, and freedom for years to come. It pays to work hard once and reap the rewards forever. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Cash is like oxygen for your business. Without cash, you can't pay your bills and your business dies. Now tune into this week's episode where we discuss the 7 deadly mistakes that will cause your business to run short of cash and how you can fix them. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.